Thank you so much for joining us for SPIRIT, the stimulating program initiative for retirees that inspires thought. I'm Judy Steinig, Senior Director of the OU's Department of Community Projects and Partnerships and coordinator and host for SPIRIT. The OU started SPIRIT several years ago as an on-site program, and now we're happy to present it as an online program for retirees, not yet retirees, baby boomers, empty nesters, sandwich generation parents, and seniors, everyone who's looking for educational, intellectual, and spiritual growth. Since the beginning of the pandemic, SPIRIT continues to be the safe and ideal way for everyone to connect and learn together in a virtual setting. Today, we are so happy to welcome back to the SPIRIT Forum, Tomar Nussbaum, who is the director of Ani Tefillah, which was part of the OU's Impact Accelerator. Tamar has presented for SPIRIT twice before, and she's back today by popular demand. It is my privilege and pleasure to turn the SPIRIT Forum over to Tamar Nussbaum. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Revitson Judy Steinweg. And I'd like to thank all those that requested that I come back and share with you some Divrei Torah for inspiration. And I want to thank you all for joining. It's a pleasure to be here and a privilege. The first thing I have to tell you, it's a little bit of a disclaimer. We're going to talk about the awesomeness of Lashon HaKodesh. I am not an expert on this language. The language is so magnificent, so deep, so holy, that it's really impossible for me, with my background and my brains, to be able to say that I really know the language. It's impossible. It's just too impossible for me. Nevertheless, through being the founder and director and writing materials for a tefillah program, I was able to get a glimpse, a little bit of a peek at the depth and the beauty of the language. And it gives to a person an awareness of, you know, we're not just a typical nation with a language. We're a nation which is v'romamtanu mikol halashonos, that is, that we were elevated from all other languages. So what is a language? If we have, there's an elevation that we have because of it. So I hope that now in this presentation, you'll hear a little bit about the awesomeness, the greatness, the holiness of this language, so that we can continue to elevate ourselves through Torah and mitzvot. So with that in mind, I just have to ask you like this. I don't know about you, but I do know that when I go to a dentist, I am praying that all of his utensils are sanitized, that they're going to work well, and they're going to do its job right. When a surgeon comes and says he has to perform a surgery, he makes sure that all his surgical instruments that he is going to use are sanitized, are top quality, are sharp, because he knows that when he's going to perform that surgery, he wants to be able to perform a surgery that will be successful. When Hashem created the world, for us, Bishvil Bereshit, Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil HaTorah, when he created the world for you and me, Hashem said, the raw materials that I'm going to use, the surgical instruments that I'm going to use to create the world has to be pure, has to be perfect, has to be sharp, has to be powerful. So what did Hashem use? Hashem used the alphabet to create this world. The Aleph Beis or Bet, whatever you're comfortable, whatever you're used to. I apologize. I'm really used to the Saf as a Saf rather than a Tuf. So that's just what sits well with me, will make it easier for me to present. So I'll just share with you the Aleph Beis were the raw materials that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to create the world. How do we know this? So I'm going to share my screen and I'd like to show to you how. Okay, the very first pasuk in the Torah says, "Bereshis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es haaretz." In the beginning, Hashem created, and you see it's highlighted, S. Here is the Aleph Bet below, the Aleph Beis below. Hashem created Aleph through Taf. Aleph through Taf, the Aleph Beis. And through the Aleph Beis, Hashem said, I will create the world that was needed and is for B'nai Yisrael B'Shvil HaTorah. The Torah was the blueprint for creation. We needed a shofar. Hashem said, I'm going to create the shofar. We needed light so that we could see the Torah, we could learn the Torah, we could perform mitzvot. Hashem said, Yihi Ar. But it was said with the language, with the using the letters of the Aleph Beis, the Aleph through Taf. When we have elements on a periodic table, you could take the combination, you could combine all the elements and it creates all different types of molecules. If you take ingredients for a cake, flour and eggs and water and sometimes yeast, sugar, then you're able to create and produce all different kinds of cakes and pastries. Hashem took the Aleph Beis, which has and put into it a holiness and an energy so that it will create the world. And every single letter, that's its form, its shape, its height, its structure, its sound, has a message for us. Nothing is arbitrary. Every single part, every dot on every letter, every combination of words, of phrases, is indicative of something specific. It gives over a message. A person's Hebrew name is actually a description of the person's essence of who they are. The energies behind each and every letter gives over, shows to the person, is an indication of who they are, their essence, their potential, their energies, and it's reflected in their name. We even see it in the word neshama. The word neshama, which is our soul, and that is truly who we are. If we look in the center, here's a message within the letters, and the combination of letters for the word soul has the word shame, has the word, the Hebrew word shame, meaning name, within it, teaching us that our name, your name and mine, mine is Tamar Yehudis, I don't know about yours, it's a reflection of who I am. And if I was able to really study and know the letters and the combination of the letters and its energies, I would have a better understanding of myself. So when you blend the letters of the Aleph Beis, you are actually, it's a formula that has energies that can blend together and bring about new cosmic, it's a blend of new cosmic forces. It really, really is. And Hashem gave us the power and the ability to understand some of its messages and to use this power of the Aleph Beis through tefillah, which we'll talk about a little bit later because that's really the practical application that I'm going to refer to when we get to that point. The messages of the Aleph Beis teaches us how to live. It teaches us about ourselves. It teaches us about the world that Hashem created, and it teaches us about Torah. Let's take a look. Let's take a peek. I'm going to have to stop share this and go back to another piece. Okay. Okay, so everyone over here sees the pay, correct? Everyone's able to see the letter pay. Not only the sound, the structure of the letter is specific, but so too, when you say one of the letters, you can always spell it out and it means something in Hebrew. It's a word. So the word peh, mouth, actually is like, that's the peh. The peh is spelled as peh, as mouth. What does a mouth do? When we communicate, when we express ourselves, we're actually taking thoughts that are in our mind, that are in, that's a key word, in. We're taking thoughts that are in our hearts and mind that we keep within with us, and we communicate them. We say it through our mouth. That's what the mouth does. That's a message of how to utilize our mouth, to take thoughts that are in our mind, to take thoughts that are within our hearts, and to express it and make it real. Let's look closely at the pain. We see the mouth. Let's imagine that the pay was like a mouth because it spells mouth. And let's think to ourselves, what does it do? It takes things that are in our hearts, in our minds, and we say it through our mouth and we spit them out. We express ourselves. What is in the pay? The Aleph Bet has prefixes. One prefix is a bays. The prefix bays means in or with. Look closely at the pay. Look at the way it's written in the Torah. What do you say within the pay, within the mouth? A bet. You see that there's a message in the pay. What is Hashem telling us? We all have a mouth. And with our mouths, we can take what's inside our hearts and minds, the bet, and we can express it through communicating through our words, through our mouth. So that's one letter that I'm going to just show to you, that when you even spell it out, there's a message for us. Let's move on to another letter. In the previous presentation that we had, we talked about the Aleph, where one we have one Hashem, and we talked about how the letter, the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, actually Bigamatria in its numerical value equals 26. The one Hashem also hints to us and alludes to us about Hashem as the Yud Kei Vav Kei God, the 26 Gematria God, and that's because we have the Yud here, if you see the cursor, that equals 10, and an upside down Yud, where we have another 10, and we have the Vav, which is 6. 10 plus 10 plus the Vav, 6, in numerical value equals 26, the same as Yud Kei Vav Kei. But I don't want to spend so much time on that. I want to move on to other letters or other words so we could see the beauty and the depth of Lashon HaKodesh, the language that was created by God. There is no person who is capable of creating this language. Let's look at the Lamed. Okay. The Lamed is the tallest letter. And we talked about the structure, even the heights of letter teaches us something. So what is the Lamed teaching us? So if we look at the alphabet here, we do notice that it is the tallest letter of all of the letters in the alphabet. What does that teach us? What does that tell us? It tells us that there has to be something within everything, has to be the tallest. Within the alphabet, the Lamed is the tallest. Who in our world is the greatest, the highest authority? Who is the king of the world? Hashem. How do we see this from the Lamed? So the first thing is, take note, even the placement of every single letter within the Aleph Bet is specific. It's not random. So let's take a look. If we have over here the Lamed, what letter comes after the Lamed? The Mem. What letter comes before the Lamed? A Chaf. Spelled backwards, it spells Melech, King. Just like there's a letter that's the highest letter among all of the alphabet letters, so too there is a king who is the highest, the greatest, the highest authority among men. Human kings. And this message is that we should see there is a Melech, there is a king, Hashem, who is the highest. And the Lamed also hints to us, the structure of the Lamed also shows this to us, because it's created from a Vav, numerical value 6, and a Chaf, numerical value 20, 26, Yod Ke Vav Ke, 26, that Aleph, which hints to us, who is our Melech? It is Hashem. There is one Hashem. So we see over here so many different magnificent messages within letters, within, because of the way it's spelled, because of the way of its height, everything is specific. So if we move on, let's move on now to the Shema, just to take a look and to see, again, let me see a little bit more of the depths of what the letters and some of the messages that it could give to us. Shema is a declaration. You know how sometimes you would always pledge allegiance to the United States of America? You're making a statement. There's something very clear. There's an identity. There's a message about who I am as an American citizen and what you pledge for. When we say Shema in a similar way, we're declaring who we are and we are accepting Ol Malchut Shamayim. We are accepting the yoke of heaven. And that means that you accept that there's one God. You're declaring clearly with one conviction, I am completely devoted to him and I'll do whatever he commands. When we say the Shema twice a day, it's a mitzvah to be mekabel, to accept the yoke of heaven. How do we see that in the Shema, in the words of Shema itself? Where can we understand and realize that when I say Shema, I am accepting the yoke of heaven? Let's take a look at the word Shema. When we say Shema, which is translated, it literally can be mean to hear. But again, the words of Lashon HaKodesh, it's impossible to really grasp in English or any other language the full extent of its translation. So Shema can mean listening. It can mean, I accept. It can mean, I understand. So Shema can mean hear, it can mean listen, and it can mean understand. But if you look at the letters, you see that the Rashi Tevot of the words Ol Malchut Shamayim, take the first letter and you will see backwards it spells Shema, Shin, Mal, Shamayim, Mem, Malchut, and Ayin, Ol. We are accepting the Ol of heaven, the yoke of heaven, when we say the Shema. I know who I am. I know what I'm doing. And when we say Shema, we could think to ourselves, here are those letters. It hints to me, it reminds me that I am being Mekabel, I am accepting the Ol Malchut Shamayim. And when we say the word Yisrael, very often we think to ourselves, we're B'nai Yisrael. That's how we explain who the Jews are. We refer to as B'nai Yehudim. We refer to sometimes the name Yisrael. So let's take a look at this and see, what does Yisrael mean? When we say that we're the children of Yisrael, is it really only the children of Yisrael, who is also known as Yaakov? It was another name for Yaakov. So when we say that we are the children, we are B'nai Yisrael, the children of Yisrael, we are saying we are the children of all of our avot and all of our imahot. Let's look at the word Yisrael. Yod stands for either Yitzchak and Yaakov, two of our forefathers. The Sin stands for Sarah, our mother Sarah. The Reish is for Rivka or Rachel. The Aleph is for Avraham. The Lamed is for Leah. Who are we? We are descendants of Yisrael. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. All of our forefathers, our three avot, and our four mothers. Sometimes when we're davening, or sometimes when we say the words, we don't have the opportunity, the ability, the time, the mindfulness to say to ourselves, who am I? But really, when we say the words Yisrael, we can connect. We have Mesorah. We have transmission. We are connected all the way back to our avot. And that gives us clarity. That gives us an identity that you can't have if you don't realize who are we, who is Yisrael. So that helps build that identity in a very clear way. Okay, so that now we saw with the Shema, also how the name, the word Shema teaches us Ol Malchut Shamayim. And then we have even the words Yisrael, who are we? And we can see it in the letters of Yisrael. Okay. So now I want to share with you a Gemara that was said over in the Yerushalmi, where Tana V'Shem Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, if you do these four things that I'm going to tell you, Muftach, you are guaranteed, Shehu Mechaye Olam, you are guaranteed that you will be from, you will have a portion in Olam Haba, in the next world. What could it be? If you had to write the four things that if you had to choose four things and you said, this is going to guarantee me that I'm going to get into the next world, What would you choose? What did Rabbi Meir choose? He chose one, kavua be'eretz Yisrael. You should live in Israel, number one. Two, va'ochel chol yo b'tahara. There is, you should eat your food in purity, and there's an explanation for that, but it's something about eating and food. Three, umidaber b'lshon hakodesh. And he speaks in lashon hakodesh, which is wild. You would think that one of the things that we should do in order to bring us and guarantee us to bring us to Olam Haba, to the next world, is to speak in Lashon HaKodesh? It's that powerful? How could that be? What is it? What is that power? And the fourth thing that he says is V'kore et Shema Baboker Uva'erev. And he says, recites Shema, that declaration, declaring with clarity that there is one Hashem and we're devoted to him and he'll do anything for him. Those, do those four things, it will bring you to Olam Haba. Now, okay, Shema, I get it. It's a declaration. It's saying who I am. It's saying what I believe in. But speaking in Lashon HaKodesh, Rashi brings down that there is such power and purity in Lashon HaKodesh that if you just talk it, his words are, they are mitaher et hanefesh. It purifies your soul. There are all different ways to purify our souls, but one way is to speak Lashon HaKodesh. It's mind-boggling. The Gemara brings down that among the four choice things to do, Rabbi Meir tells us, to bring us to Olam Haba is to live in Eretz Yisrael, eat food with purity, and speak Lashon HaKodesh and say Shema Torah in the morning and in the evening. It's mind-boggling when you think about the power of Lashon HaKodesh. So I want to share with you what the Nefesh HaChaim says about Lashon HaKodesh. He tells us that the Kedusha in the letters themselves have so much power that when we daven, even if you don't understand the words, even if you don't understand the phrase or words you're saying, if you just visualize the letters going up to Shamayim, that itself will make your tefillot extremely powerful. It's a tool, it's a raw material that you can use for tefillah, that when you're davening, you are in effect waking up those energies to be put into the places that need to be put into, so that based on the phrases and the words that you're saying within the Siddur. But what I'd like to do is just to show to you a few more pieces, a few more messages about from the letters themselves, to just give us that feeling of like, oh my goodness, there really is an awesomeness. There really is a holiness to this language. We really are, can be elevated, Romam Tanu Mikal HaLashonot, because the language itself was created by Hashem. It was the raw materials that created the world, and they used in the Torah, and is, they have messages for us and who we are, how we live our life, what's this world about, what does Hashem expect from us? So let's look at the letter Zion, okay? It's hard to see the Zion over here, but it's a Zion. That was this font. And the numerical value of a Zion is 7. And we all know that on the 7th day of the week, it is Shabbos. We rest. We take a break. What do we have to do on Shabbos? We have to light candles, ner. We drink wine because when we make kiddush. We eat challah. We eat fish and meat, dag and basar. There is a hint within these words that allude to Shabbos, the 7th day of the week. How and where? So in Gematria, there's a thing, it's called Mispar Katan, when you can take the full amount, the full numerical value, and if there are any zeros, drop the zeros and get the Mispar Katan, the small numerical value. Let's look at the word Ner. Nothing is randomly chosen. Words and letters are combined for their energies that it gives and reflects the essence of that particular item, material, person. Let's look at the word ner, nun, resh. The nun equals 50 and the resh equals 200. We're going to make, what is the mispar katan? It's a 5, drop the zeros, 5 plus 2. What does that equal? 5 plus 2 equals 7. On the seventh day of the week, we light candles. Let's look at the word yayin. Yud plus yud plus nun. 10 plus 10 equals 50. Drop the zeros. 1 plus 1 plus 5. 7. On the seventh day of the week, we make Kiddush on wine. Challah. Chet lamed hey. 8 plus 30, drop the zero. So now it's plus 3 plus 5. 7. Wait a second. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. No, if this happens not to be coming out to the 7, 8, 9, 7 for some reason, I have to check that up. But well, there is an explanation. It does in some way equal to a 7. I have to look that up and I apologize for that, but it does. Go, let's go to Doug. Dalet plus Gimel, 3 plus 4 equals 7. And Basar, Bet, Sin, Reish, you have the 2 and the 3 and the 2. That equals to 7, 2. So what the total, each item and each thing that we're required to do on Shabbos, the seventh day of the week, when you take the Mispar Katan of the words, that equals to 7. So now let's move on to the words Emet and Sheker. Let's just look at the words and see how and which letters Hashem chose for the word truth and for the word Sheker, not saying the truth. So if we look at the letters, every letter that was chosen has a foundation, has a strong foundation. They have feet. Look at where it's highlighted over here. And my cursor is there for you to see. You have at the bottom of the Aleph, you have a foot, and on the other side, we have the second foot. And then we have the mem, that's also 2 feet, one right here, another one right here. And we have the tuf, which has a foot here and a foot here. It is standing on solid ground. When you say the truth, it is solid. When we say, someone would say sheker, if we look at the letters themselves, it has one foot that's kind of wobbling. There's no way it could balance itself to stand straight. Look at the shin, the point, the kuf, or the longer line of the kuf, and the resh, you have the point over there. And that's teaching us what is there about emet, what is there about truth, and what is there about sheker that we should know. It's teaching us that when we say emet, it will always stand strong. And when we say sheker, it can never stand. So we have the words emet and sheker over here. Even if we look at the word ayin, what message do we have in the letter ayin? So again, let's look here at the way it's constructed. It's actually constructed as a yud we have over here and a zayin. It has two arms. It has a slanted yud, the right arm, right here, and it has a zayin, the left arm. So let's look at the gematrias over here. We have the letters that form a yud, ayin, they are yud and zayin. So the yud is 10 and the zayin is 7, equals 17. What in Torah, what word in Torah equals 17 that could give us a hint and a message about how to use our ayin, our eyes? The word tov, the word good. Tet means we have the word tet, which is 9, and vav, which is 6, and we have the bet, which is 2. When we learn the combination, we learn from the combination of these two steps that a person should have a good eye. He should be, quote, 17, use your eyes for good. And then you will see that life will take on a whole new dimension for you when you only see the good in people. That's the message of the ayin. So these are just a few letters to give you an idea, a few words to give you a feeling of the holiness and purity of each letter that Hashem created. And when we combine them and we use them in the our tefillot based on what the Anshei Knesset HaGdola has written, has composed this Siddur for us, the powers and the energies that the words have that we're saying, even if we don't understand it, is tremendous. How much more so when we do understand it, because there are different tools for tefillah that we could use to make our tefillot real, to make it powerful. One is kavanah, to really feel, to really concentrate, to really connect to the words that you're saying. But another tool that we use are the letters of the alphabet. It's the lashon that's used in the siddur. One thing I could tell you, that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the 120 people that composed the Siddur, were brilliant Talmidei Chachamim. They were Nevi'im. They were on a level that none of us could even reach or touch upon. And they had the wisdom to be able to know how to combine the words and make them into phrases based on words within Tanakh, words within the Torah. When I had to speak by my bas mitzvah, I needed someone to make up the speech for me. I didn't want to make it up myself. I needed someone who was qualified and could give over the words the way I wanted them to be presented. The same thing with the bar mitzvah boy. The same thing with the president of the United States. We have here in tefillah the greatest composers of the siddur that help us, give us the ability to express, to ignite the energies needed within the letters, because we don't have that level of Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Rivka Imenu, our forefathers, our mothers, who knew and understood how to talk to Hashem so that the energies behind the alphabet were ignited and were in full force, building and new cosmic forces within the world. So I'd like to share and just show to you a few things about that the Torah brings down about Lashon HaKodesh and its power of speaking and davening with using Lashon HaKodesh. One is we have from the Siddur HaMifarash, he says, Hare batevot atzman, in the letters themselves, you should know, koach gadol, there is tremendous great power, la'alotan ma'ala ma'ala, to bring your tefillot higher and higher, just the letters. And the Mishneh Berurah tells us that one could daven in one's own language, and we talked about that when you meet it and you feel it, you can shake up the skies, and Hashem will hear your tefillot. But you should know that when you daven in your own language, that's great, but it's preferable to daven in Lashon HaKodesh, because you're actually turning on the ignition, igniting the light, the forces through Lashon HaKodesh without us even understanding them. It works. Do we understand the way a computer works? Not necessarily, but it does, and we use it. The Nefesh HaChaim says that davening in other languages cannot be compared to davening in Lashon HaKodesh. It can't be. And then the Mishneh Berurah continues and says that when davening Lashon HaKodesh, one fulfills his obligation even if one doesn't comprehend the words that one is saying. So in other words, sometimes we think to ourselves, ugh, I sound like, it's just so robotic when I'm davening. What is the purpose of me davening and saying and praying from the Siddur if I don't understand the words? Because there is a power in just saying the words, and just like the Nefesh HaChaim said, visualizing the words, that starts up and creates forces that will in effect help us create new realities, because that's what happens through tefillah, and it will connect us to Hashem, to God. So with that in mind, what I'd like to share with you is that in the wisdom in the alphabet, Rabbi Yechiel Monk's sefer, that article put out on page 22, he says that when one says the words of tefillah in Lashon HaKodesh, it is beyond one's imagination to understand how much power and impact the tefillah now has. When we daven, we are utilizing a power, a tool that Hashem gave us to change mazalot, to change and in effect heal people, bring us closer to Hashem, bring us an awareness, bring parnasa, bring livelihood to people, help cancel, nullify decrees, bad decrees that are in the world. We have the tools which are pure, which Hashem created the world with in our hands. He gave it to us. He gave us the ability, the power of speech to communicate and use Lashon HaKodesh to bring about change, to bring about connection. My tefillah is that we think back to the Tower of Babel, when all the people of the world got together and said, oh, we have to destroy the world. We're going to rebel against God. And they started building a tower thinking that we're going to show God, we're greater than him. What did Hashem choose to do? How did Hashem say, I'm going to show them, I'm the Melech, Lamed, there's a king of the world. And he dispersed them, and suddenly there were loads of languages in the world. There was confusion, and they weren't able to unify themselves because everyone's speaking jibber-jabber, and nobody was understanding what anyone else was saying. But he didn't kill them like in the days of the Mabel. When Hashem said to Noah, I'm destroying everyone because they were stealing, what saved the world when the world said, we're rebelling against God? Hashem didn't say, I'm destroying you. He dispersed them and he broke them up into gave them different languages. There was achdut. There was unity. There was a oneness. That's why they were saved. My tefillah is that if there's such power in coming together and having achdus, it could save a generation, that all of us together as one, let us use the power of Lashon, coming together, enforcing, bringing about the Mashiach through the tefillah that we say, certainly from our hearts, even more so when we daven through Lashon and using Lashon HaKodesh. I hope you found it informative. I hope this is helpful. And I'd love to hear your feedback. And I thank you again for joining.
Tamar, we thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful session and compliments coming in on my end. And one question, you should check the chat to see if you have any. Somebody is asking, is there a difference between Lashon HaKodesh and modern Hebrew?
Yes. Yes, there is. Lashon HaKodesh has within it the purity and the holiness that we need, that it was built with. And modern day Hebrew is more conversational Hebrew. Some of the words are similar and but it doesn't have the same purity. Interestingly enough, just like I'm just throwing this out to you, you're mentioning it, even the words, every word, like I said, names reflect the essence of a person or what that object is. Take the word kelev, dog in Hebrew. So what is the essence of a dog? Kol, kelev, kol, lev. It's all heart. I don't have a dog. thank you, Barbara Keppelman, who showed that challah does equal seven. We have the one and the six of seven. I appreciate that you brought that out. I just got a little flustered, which is normal. Thank you. Anyone else have any thoughts or questions they'd like to ask?
Somebody's saying, very amazing and inspiring. This person has a dog, and this is true. This is the Emmis. Okay, but lots and lots of other compliments here, which are certainly very, very much appreciated. Does anybody have any questions, though, for Tamar while we are in the program? It's beautiful to read the compliments, though. That we appreciate.
So I do see a few comments on the chats that I could address. Sure. To Bonnie, so I do not teach presently in high schools or seminaries, and I am writing this tefillah program now to help strengthen day schools, getting straight to the teachers to the teachers and the students, so that they will find tefillah meaningful. But that's what I'm doing. But I have been asked to speak in many other places, and I do sometimes speak when I'm invited. And Barbara, a lot of the information that I'm sharing is from the book of Rabbi Monk, The Wisdom in the Hebrew Alphabet, The Sacred Letters as a Guide to Jewish Deed and Thought. It is quite magnificent. It's very, very special and unique.
Okay, two comments here. I don't know if this is possible, but somebody's asking if everyone could get a copy of the PowerPoint you showed. Is that something that's can be released, or that's
okay?
Even a couple of pages.
Okay, a lot of the PowerPoint that I showed are actually from the workbooks that the schools use to teach tefillah. And I use them here because it doesn't matter on the age, but if we could give over these concepts that you saw in the workbooks to children, we break it down, their lives and their attitudes towards tefillah has and will change. So I don't really think I could share the PowerPoint, but we do.
Could it be ordered? I mean, yeah. Could the book, okay, so after the program, if you can send me the link to how people can order it, that's certainly, and of course your information. So that, you know, as long as people can receive this. And there's a question here, see how this relates to the Bible code.
So it does. The codes in the Bible are based on, that's another aspect of the Lashon, of the alphabet, of the words in biblical Hebrew, that the codes are beyond awesome, seeing how you can actually move a few letters and suddenly you see a code where it tells you things about, you know, anything from the Holocaust to anything and everything. Everything is in the Torah, everything. And the codes are magnificent, and it's a reflection again of the depth and the power of capabilities of the language itself of Hebrew, of Lashon HaKodesh.
While you're giving us a link so that people can order the workbooks, that somebody also wants the link to the book that you had by Rabbi Monk.
You can probably get in any Hebrew bookstore. I'll give you the name and you can just order it on it.
Okay, so if you just give us the name and, you know, the author and the full name, that I think that would be fine. Yeah. Anything else? I don't have anything else here. Do you?
I could just mention that if anyone has any contacts or anything with a school that you think they would appreciate this, and we could together bring about a unification among each other with an understanding of the depth of Lashon HaKodesh and how it affects our tefillot and just tefillah in general, I would feel we're partners. And Mika Amcha Yisrael, who is like the nation of Israel, when we all know that we want to grow and become better Jews.
So that I think would be that wonderful. Is a wonderful idea. Everybody who's watching now and everybody who will be seeing the recording, mention this to your children, about the schools that your grandchildren are in, and anybody who has a relationship with any school, and many people here probably are still teaching, that this would certainly be a wonderful way. Spirit would be very proud to bring this program to any of our schools. So if that happens, please let me know, because we would love to know, you know, the how our programs just keep going further and further. So we want to thank Tamar again and Anit Vila for bringing such a meaningful program. Before I close out the program, I just want to announce, so next week, we're back on Tuesday. I'll just let everybody know why the program wasn't yesterday. I had the privilege of seeing Tamar in person, not on Zoom the way we usually have. She and I were among 150 other women at the OU Women's Initiative, had a women's conference, and probably there are people here. Check some of the leaders in your the female leaders in your shul, because I'm sure they were there also. So we had a very meaningful and exhausting 2 days. So the fact that we're up and moving around now is, you know, definitely a miracle. Baruch Hashem, it was wonderful, and it was just nice to see Tamar in person, because we'd never done that before. So next week we are back to Tuesday, May 9th, and the topic will be the coming of Sage, SAGE, how we matter as parents and grandparents. And that will be presented by Shifra Novograd. So that will be on Tuesday. And I just want to again announce, at the end of the month, on May 30th, we won't be having a typical spirit session. We'll be having a marathon day on the OU Spirithon Day of Giving, when we will be presenting pre-recordings of I think it's going, it's 12 hours of nonstop programming. And we hope everyone will enjoy it. And we hope that everyone will respond by giving a gift to Spirit so that we can continue. And we are looking to grow the program to with other types of projects and programs on site, online, and everything else. So we are looking forward to that at the end of May. Tomorrow, if you're, I'm going to ask you also to email me so that we beyond the chat, we can also put that into the recording, and everyone will get the recording either later today or tomorrow. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. Have a great week. Oh, it is almost Shabbos again, and have a good Shabbos. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.